All right, so are you ready to like travel back in time? We're going to take a deep dive today into the world of ancient empires and biblical archaeology.
You know, when you said that, I kind of thought Sunday school flashbacks.
Right, but trust me, this is going to be way more exciting than Sunday school. We're talking empires that were larger than life, and their impact is still felt even today.
For sure. We'll be looking at Dr. Jeffrey Hunan's lecture on the geopolitical arena. That's going to be our guide. It's going to help us explore these ancient powerhouses, specifically the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and the Persians.
Okay, so we're talking about empires that like basically set the stage for a lot of the Bible, right? I mean, the names that you hear about in all the stories of prophets and kings and, exiles. What's the connection?
The connection's huge. Imagine like trying to understand a story without knowing the setting or the characters' backgrounds. It's kind of like that. Trying to understand the Bible without knowing about these empires, they influenced everything from the stories of prophets like Daniel to the development of Jewish identity in exile. And then you've got their architectural achievements, which were seriously impressive.
Okay, I'm all in. Let's start with the Assyrians. Like, what were they all about?
Think of them as the superpower of their time. They were known for their military might and ruthlessness. In fact, the Neo-Babylonian Empire, which we'll get to in a bit, actually rose from the ashes of the Assyrian Empire. And they actually mirrored their expansionist tactics to conquer vast territories.
But you said Neo-Babylonian. So is that like Babylonian 2.0? What happened to the original Babylonians?
It's more like a new chapter in Babylonian history. The Neo-Babylonian Empire came after a period of decline and then rose to power again. But their reign was relatively short-lived, unlike their Assyrian predecessors. However, they made their mark, especially under King Nebuchadnezzar II. You might recognize that name.
Wasn't he the one who had that whole writing on the wall experience? That's a pretty vivid image.
Yes, he was a powerful ruler who conquered Jerusalem, and that led to the Babylonian exile of the Jewish people. And this event had profound implications for the development of Jewish identity. Think about it being forced from your homeland and having to maintain your culture and faith in a completely foreign land.
Wow, that must have been incredibly challenging. I can't even imagine. Makes you wonder how something like that shapes an entire people's sense of self. So was Babylon all doom and gloom, or was it like the Las Vegas of the ancient world?
Well, Babylon was definitely known for its grandeur and beauty. It was a major center of civilization. Take the Ishtar Gate, for example. It was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, adorned with vibrant glazed brickwork and intricate designs of lions and mythical creatures.
Wait, so those amazing pictures I've seen, those are real.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, not just an artist's idea of what it might have been like.
What's even cooler is that a portion of the Ishtar Gate has been reconstructed in the Berlin Museum.
What?
You can actually go see a piece of this ancient wonder today.
That's incredible. Okay, on to something else that has blown my mind, those hanging gardens. Were they really in Babylon?
Ah, the Hanging
Or
Gardens.
is that just like a myth?
It's a question that has puzzled historians for centuries.
Right.
Some believe they were indeed in Babylon, while others, like British Assyriologist Stephanie Dowley, argue that they were actually part of Nineveh, which was the Assyrian capital.
Hold on. So one of the wonders of the world might have been misattributed. How could that happen?
Well, we're talking about information passed down through generations,
Okay.
sometimes with a bit of embellishment along the way.
Sure.
Plus, there's the challenge of interpreting archaeological evidence, piecing together a complete picture. It's a bit like a historical detective story, and we may never have all the answers.
Speaking of mysteries, if the Hanging Gardens did exist, how did they work? How would they have irrigated those elevated gardens?
One theory involves the Archimedes screw, which could have been used to lift water. Picture a spiral inside a tube, and as the screw turns, water is lifted upwards.
Yeah, that's clever. But didn't Archimedes live way later? Could that technology have existed in Babylon or Assyria?
That's part of the debate. Some scholars suggest that a similar technology might have existed earlier, but concrete evidence is elusive. It just adds to the intrigue, doesn't it?
It totally does. So we've got the Assyrians, the Babylonians, both mighty empires with their share of mystery and drama. What happens next in this ancient world power play?
Well, after the fall of Babylon, a new power emerged on the scene, one even larger than its predecessors, get ready to meet the Persians.
Bring on the Persians. They sound like they're going to shake things up.
Oh, the Persians were definitely a force to be reckoned with. We're talking about an empire that stretched from the Indus Valley all the way to Egypt and even parts of Europe.
Wow, that's seriously massive. Like, it makes the other empires look tiny in comparison. Mm. How did they manage to control such a huge territory?
Yeah. Well, they were known for their administrative efficiency and their policy of tolerance towards conquered peoples. But a big part of their success was due to their leader, Cyrus the Great.
Oh, right. Cyrus. Wasn't he the one who, like, conquered Babylon and allowed the people who had been exiled, like the Jewish people, to go back to their homeland? That was a pretty big deal, right?
Absolutely. Cyrus's edict was a turning point in biblical history. Imagine being a Jewish exile living in Babylon for decades and then suddenly being given the chance to return to Jerusalem. It must have felt like a dream come true.
I bet. That's a pretty amazing legacy for one leader.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't you say the Persians were also known for their efficiency? Like, it seems like those two things don't always go hand in hand, conquering and being nice.
You'd be surprised. The Persians were very organized.
Yeah.
Especially when it came to communication. In fact, the phrase, rain, snow, or sleet will not stop the mail, is actually rooted in their incredibly efficient postal system.
Wait, seriously? So we're saying our modern postal service is inspired by the ancient Persians. That's a connection I never would have guessed.
It's a testament to their dedication to keeping their vast empire connected. But even the greatest empires eventually crumble.
Right. Like, even Rome had its day. So what brought down the mighty Persians? Internal squabbles? Decadence? Too much partying?
Well, there were a few factors, actually. Internal corruption played a role, as did a series of military defeats, most notably at the hands of Alexander the Great. Remember him?
Oh, yeah. Alexander the Great, the conqueror who basically swept through the ancient world like a whirlwind. It's hard to imagine an empire as vast as the Persians falling, but I guess all good things must come to an end.
It is a bit humbling, isn't it, to think of these once majestic cities like Persepolis, the Persian capital, now in ruins. Those towering columns and grand staircases are a testament to their former glory, but also a reminder of the fleeting nature of power.
Okay, so we've got these empires rising and falling, conquering and being conquered. It's all pretty epic, but what was life actually like for people living in these times?
Yeah.
It can't have been all war and politics, right?
That's a great point. It's easy to get caught up in the big picture, but we have to remember that history is made up of individual stories, too. Let's zoom in on one specific region under Persian rule, Yehud, which was also known as Judah.
Yehud, Judah.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Why is this region so important?
Well, this is where Jewish life began to reemerge after the Babylonian exile. It's where the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple took place.
So after all that upheaval, Yehud becomes like a center of renewal and rebuilding for the Jewish community. That's fascinating. It's like rising from the ashes.
Exactly. And there's a tangible symbol of this resurgence. The first Jewish coins were minted during this period under Persian rule.
Wait, hold up. Jewish coins. That's pretty cool. What do they look like?
They were tiny silver pieces inscribed with Yehud and a sprig of grain representing both their identity and their connection to the land. And guess what?
Tell me.
Some modern Israeli shekels actually draw inspiration from these ancient Yehud coins.
Wow, that's a direct link between ancient history and the present day.
Yeah.
I love those little connections. Okay, so we've got this rebuilding effort going on. Coins are being minted. What else is happening in Yehud?
Well, a key figure during this period was Nehemiah, a Jewish governor appointed by the Persians. He was instrumental in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, a project that symbolized the restoration of Jewish identity and security.
Oh, right. Nehemiah. I remember learning about him. Wasn't he the one who was always praying and fasting while rebuilding those walls?
Yeah.
Sounds like he had his work cut out for him.
He definitely did. And his story highlights the resilience and determination of the Jewish community to rebuild their lives and their city after the exile.
So we're seeing this amazing blend of Persian influence and Jewish resurgence,
yeah,
with a little bit of Nehemiah's tenacity thrown in for good measure.
Mm.
It's like a whole new chapter is beginning.
You could say that. And it's a chapter full of fascinating details, like the administrative systems the Persians put in place. Did you know they even had official seals on storage jars to track taxes and agricultural products?
Seriously, seals on jars. It sounds a little obsessive even for the Persians.
Well, they were all about efficiency, remember? But these seemingly mundane details are actually incredibly valuable to archaeologists and historians. They provide a glimpse into everyday life in Yehud under Persian rule, the kind of stuff you don't always get from the grand narratives.
It's like those little details bring history to life, you know?
Yeah.
Suddenly you're imagining people going about their daily routines, paying their taxes, filling up their storage jars. It's fascinating.
It is. And it reminds us that these empires weren't just abstract entities. They were made up of real people with real lives.
Okay, I'm hooked. I want to hear more about those everyday experiences, those human stories behind the big events. What else can you tell us?
Okay, so we've seen all these empires rise and fall and leaving behind, you know, amazing architecture, a legacy of efficient postal systems. They're even inspiring modern currency. But I'm kind of stayed on that whole Babylonian exile thing.
Yeah.
It just seems like such a pivotal moment, not just for the Jewish people, but for like the whole trajectory of history.
Yeah.
It's definitely a moment that deserves a closer look. You're right. The Babylonian exile was a defining moment.
Right.
In Jewish history. And it wasn't just about the physical displacement. It was about a cultural and spiritual upheaval.
So how did being like forced from their homeland actually impact their faith and identity? Did it make them like question everything?
It certainly challenged them.
Right.
But in many ways, it's strengthened their faith.
Okay.
For one, it led to a greater emphasis on scripture and religious practice.
Mm-hmm.
Without the temple, they needed new ways to like maintain their cultural and religious identity in a foreign land.
So it's like, okay, no temple, but we still have our beliefs, our traditions, our scriptures. We can hold on to that.
Exactly. The Torah became a portable homeland, a source of comfort and continuity in a time of immense disruption.
That makes sense. But wouldn't being surrounded by like a totally different culture make them want to just assimilate and blend in?
It's interesting because while there was certainly some cultural exchange, the exile also intensified their longing for Jerusalem and the temple.
Okay.
It's almost like absence made the heart grow fonder. These places became really powerful symbols of their lost homeland and the hope of eventual return.
So the exile wasn't just about loss. It was about yearning about hope.
Precisely. It was a complex mix of emotions.
Right.
And experiences. And there was another layer to this. Being exposed to Babylonian culture and ideas also broadened their worldview.
Okay.
They encountered different ways of thinking about God, different philosophical and religious perspectives.
So they were forced out of their comfort zone. But it actually led to a more like diverse and dynamic understanding of their own faith.
Right.
That's fascinating.
It's a testament to the adaptability and resilience of the Jewish people.
Yeah.
They didn't simply shut down or try to completely erase Babylonian influence.
Right.
They integrated new ideas.
Yeah.
Adapted their practices and ultimately emerged from the exile with a richer, more complex identity.
Wow. It's amazing how something so traumatic could actually lead to such growth and transformation. It speaks to the enduring power of faith and culture, even in the face of immense challenges. And those challenges, those everyday experiences, are what truly bring history to life. We've talked about empires and kings, but what about the ordinary people living through these times?
Yeah, I'm really curious about that. What would it have been like to be, say, a Jewish craftsperson living in Babylon longing for Jerusalem? Or a Persian soldier marching with Cyrus the Great?
Those are great questions. Imagine the conversations they would had, the stories they would have told, the smells of the marketplace, the sounds of a bustling city, the fear of war, the joy of returning home. These are the details that make history real, that connect us to the past in a visceral way.
It's like we've been looking at a tapestry from a distance, admiring the grand design. But now we're getting up close and noticing the individual threads, the intricate details that make it so beautiful.
Exactly. And that's what I love about history. It's not just about dates and names. It's about stories, about human experiences. And there are so many untold stories waiting to be discovered, so many perspectives we haven't even considered.
So what's the takeaway for our listeners? Why should we care about these ancient empires and their impact on the world?
Because their legacy is all around us. From the foundations of our legal systems to the architectural marvels we still admire today, from the stories we tell to the very words we use, the echoes of these ancient civilizations are woven into the fabric of our lives.
So by understanding the past, we can better understand ourselves and the world we live in.
Absolutely. It's about making connections, seeing the threads that link us to those who came before us. And who knows, maybe by exploring those connections, we'll even discover something new about ourselves along the way.
I love that. Well, I have to say, this deep dive has been truly eye-opening. Thank you so much for taking us on this incredible journey through ancient history.
It's been my pleasure. And remember, history is not just a collection of facts. It's an invitation to explore, to question, to imagine. So keep diving deep, and who knows what you might uncover.